world and your life, you will see the blessings, the rewards, and the thawab of all these things in the hereafter. And whatever bad actions or bad deeds that you perform in your life, then of course it will be like something like punishments, fire, or let's say hellfire, or different kind of chastisement for you in the hereafter life.
That's right.
So all the actions and performance of you in this life will have its own kind of effects on you in the hereafter life. So these effects could be like something that you will see, that mm-hmm. you will experience.
All right.
For example, the fire, which is the chastisement or the punishment for your actions,
yes.
you will see that. You will experience that. That's why it's like kind of embodiment of the actions and your deeds in the hereafter life.
So the effects of your action will be embodied in the other world?
In the other world, and you will see the consequences okay. or the effects of this. This is the meaning of tajassum al-a'mal, that you see like something like bodily or physically,
yes.
it seems that you will witness
okay.
the effects of your deeds in the hereafter life, and you will experience that, and you will face that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the embodiment of your deeds or a'mal.
That's right. We have some verses in the Holy Quran, for example, as if they are eating fire or something like that,
yes.
isn't it?
Fi butunihim nara, as the Holy Quran is mentioned.
That's right.
When you, for example, oppressively take the properties of the orphans.
Orphans, that's right.
Yeah, it is like nar.
Nar, as if you are eating fire.
Yeah, it's
that's
like
right.
as if you are eating nar or fire in your
so
stomach.
So you mean the exact visualization and the embodiment
exactly.
of this action will be seen
yeah.
in the other world.
So this fire is something bodily and
wow.
physically, yeah?
Okay.
It is the embodiment of your bad action
okay.
in the form of a fire.
Yes,
yeah.
okay, that's right. And some people say that the embodiment of the actions even happen in this world, but you cannot feel it. And this is because of the lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's giving you the chance.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, for example, you are taken away, you are oppressing the people, you are killing the innocent people and
yeah.
the innocent children and the women, okay? So the embodiment of your actions are with you, but because of the lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot feel it.
Mm-hmm.
As if you are given a second chance. But in the other world, since the time is finished, the time is done, then you will be shown the true face of your actions. Brother Alevian, is it true?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Actually, to think this, or to say, to call it a lutf or grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you cannot see the embodiment of your action, sometimes could be true when the actions are all good actions. I mean, recommended ones, or let's say pleasant actions. But
yes.
as for bad actions, it's again the same embodiment of those actions that doesn't let you to see the badness of the action,
okay.
rather than to be a grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is due to the action itself. So we want to say in this that every action has its own effect. I mean,
yes.
if it is good, you are going to be rewarded, to be prized for that, to be gifted for that. Then this goodness of it can be sensed and felt by you. But the bad action actually is like fire. The same way that, for example, a person who is angry or upset. So the same way that it can show itself, I mean, this anger, this upsetness can be seen in the face of the person through becoming, the
uh-huh.
skin becoming red.
Yes.
So this is, I mean, it's materialization.
Yes.
But again, there are some as well, there are some
spiritual effects, negative effects.
Spiritual
too, that's right.
materialization or manifestation of
All
this
right.
action.
And
so
the,
when...
Sorry, the statistics and the... we can say scientific research have proved this too.
Definitely,
right. okay.
yeah.
At the time of anger, what happens for the body and the soul?
The famous Japanese scientist test on water molecules.
Volatile molecules, that's right.
No, actually,
okay.
which is known by everyone. I mean,
yes.
it goes without saying.
Okay.
So I want to say that when actually we got accustomed to committing sin and bad action.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we are deprived from even seeing the fire in this world. I
yes.
mean, so when all the curtains go behind,
yes.
go aside, then it is the time for us to see. But when we have got accustomed to doing good actions, even here in this world, we have the chance to see
yes.
the goodness and the beauty of our actions today. I mean, in this world, while we are here, we are alive.
Okay.
So even some of the scholars have said and stated, even the scholars of akhlaq and moralities and ethics, they said, and I mean, the heavens and the hell is here in this world. So no need to search for a hell and paradise in the other world. So the paradise,
yes,
the heaven and the hell can be sensed and felt here. When
that's
we
right.
have a good action, we can see the beauty of it, we can see the adoration of it, the reward of it that we are given. So I want to say that these actions, every
yes.
action has its own consequences, its
okay.
own results
that's
in,
right.
in this world.
That's right.
So we shouldn't be waiting for the hereafter, though mm-hmm. it's quite, I mean, the core of this discussion is that, I mean, theologians say that, okay, in the other world, what we have been told as adab or punishment or
yes.
what reward are the manifestation of these actions and in
okay.
these acts and deeds that we have done in
that's
this
right.
world.
All right.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
So we do not have any zayel or ma'doom or fani action in this world, Sheikh.
Of course not.
Every action is going to have a consequence and effect, and it's going to be shown. I mean, the true face of our actions are going to be shown to us in the other world. But are there any clear examples of the embodiment of our actions, whether good or evil? For example, Nar was one of them for the evil actions, okay?
Yes.
Taking away the rights of the orphans or oppressing an orphan, you will eat fire.
Yes.
What about the good actions now?
You see that in our riwayat, in the hadith narrated from the Holy Prophet and also some of the imma alayhim as-salatu was-salam, in this riwayat it is clearly mentioned that, for example, on the Day of Judgment, on the Day of Qiyamah, the people will witness something with them when they, for example, are taken out from the graves.
They're resurrected.
Yeah, yeah, resurrected.
Okay.
And then they see that there are some things with them, in front of them moving.
Oh,
or,
something like
them.
A mesali body or
yeah,
temsali
yeah,
body. That's right.
Like
okay,
this.
Okay.
These are mentioned in the riwayat.
Okay, very good.
That then the person asks that, okay, who are you or what are you with
okay.
me? And he would say that, okay, I am all those pleasures for you, that you did some good actions in your life,
oh.
so they are changed into a kind of pleasure or ladha or sa'ada, and now I'm with you.
So I'm the
and
embodiment
be,
of your
exactly,
good actions.
Exactly,
okay.
I will be with you in the paradise, for example.
Oh.
Okay, together
mm-hmm.
with you. So these are the things that are mentioned in riwayat, for example, from Imam al-Sadiq. It is narrated that when a mu'min comes out from the grave and or resurrected on the Day of Judgment, he will see someone or something that moves in front of him.
Okay.
And then he asks...
Like a body.
That, yeah, like something
okay, okay.
bodily or
okay.
physical. And then the mu'min asks that, who are you? Why are you with me? And then that thing would say that, of course, أَنَا السُّرُورُ الَّذِي كُنْتَ أَدْخَلْتَ عَلَىٰ أَخِيكَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي الدُّنْيَا خَلَقَنِيَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْهُ لِأُبَشَّرَكَ says that I am that kind of enjoyment or pleasure because of what? Because those pleasures that you gave to or you caused to your brother or to
yes.
Muslim brother,
yes.
mu'min,
yes.
because of those favors that you
yes,
did for
favors,
your,
yes,
for,
favors,
your
that's right.
For example, your brother, then that changed into this kind of thing that now you see,
okay.
and I am that one.
Sorry,
so
this
I will be with you.
This case is true about the evil actions too?
Of course.
It could
yes.
be an imaginal body
exactly.
resurrected with
exactly.
you, but rooted in your
yeah,
evil.
Yeah, you might see like very
wow.
dangerous, horrifying
wow.
kind of creatures.
Oh.
The result of the wrong actions, bad actions, mm-hmm. evil actions, they will embody themselves into the form of very dangerous, very horrifying, frightening kind of creatures. Yeah, of course, they are also mentioned in the holy, in our riwayat and ahadith.
That's all right. Very good. So, Brother Alavian, what lessons can we take from the embodiment of our actions? I mean, are these a kind of warning or notice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? to give people a kind of lesson to be away from evil actions? Or no, they truly happen, as Sheikh said.
Yeah, actually, this is what the some scholars actually are insisting on, that this embodiment of actions wants to warn us that whatever we do is with us, either good or bad.
Yes.
So to the extent that we get accustomed to doing good, so we can continuously be living with good actions of ours. Though some of the scholars actually showed their objection towards this concept of embodiment of action, like the late Allama Majlisi, he believed that this is in contradiction with bodily resurrection, Mu'ad al-Jismani. But again, there are lots of other, scholars who believe that this concept is true, and they have, accepted this concept very easily and even without any interpretation. They said that it has nothing to do with bodily resurrection, and it is not against these bodily resurrection. And since the actions are showing their effects, I mean, the fire that we're talking, the punishment that has been defined or has been actually warned or yes, have been reported for us, that they are the fire for bad actions, the fire are here with us. So if we have got an open eye in this world, if we are blessed with this open eye in this world, then we can see our actions, and then we shall refrain from doing any action.
Yes.
So what is the consequence? What is the result? The result is that we have to work on ourselves.
Yes.
So as much as we try to refrain from any bad action.
Okay.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will institutionalize this being with good, with the effects of this good action
yes,
in our existence, then we will be blessed with seeing and sensing, at least,
okay,
not even necessarily with body eyes, with the eyes of spirit, right?
Yes, I know.
So we can see, I mean, the beauty of good actions, and we can even fall in case, God forbid, we do a bad action.
So, for example, when you are angry, it will show itself in the rays of heartbeat?
Yeah.
Or, for example, being red in your complexion.
These are the material consequences.
The natural consequences.
Yeah.
But in other places, it could be, for example, changed into quite fire.
Very true.
It is possible
exactly
that your anger is changed energetically into a fire or
very
something
true
like that.
Okay. So
even scientifically, it is possible.
Scientifically possible.
Okay.
And even some of the people are men of mystics.
Yes.
They have always, wrote about these experiences of them in different forms and different situations that they have been in. And they actually explain the way that, for example, the outcome of or the result of a person who was continuously reciting salawat on the Holy Prophet and his household. So they have seen, that beautiful flower that was around that person. I mean, some of the scholars wrote and explained such things in their works in literature.
Just listen what Molavi says, the famous Persian poet, that Gashte gorgan yek be yek khuhay to, your temperament has been changed into the wolves. Midaranand az ghazab a'zay to, out of anger they will tear you apart. آن سخنهای چمار و کجدومت, all your utterances who were like snakes and like dragons, مار و کجدوم گردد و گیرد دومد, will in fact and practically be changed into a snake and dragons and will tear you apart and will attack you. This is what Molana says in a very beautiful, says that sometimes we say that, for example, the language that the tongue that you use against the others, it's like the poison of a snake, okay?
Very true.
So
yeah,
this poisonous snake will be shown to you truly in the other world.
Very true. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a very vivid witness for such a claim is that when you sit close to a mystic,
yes,
let's say, a ustad of ethics,
ustad,
or a believer, a true believer, so you will find a sort of tranquility, yeah? And you can sense it. Or when you enter holy shrines of the Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
So this tranquility can be sensed on you. So this is due to the good action that you have done, that you have entered that place, due to the goodness of, or the greatness of the soul of that person.
Yes.
So, all are going to prove
yes,
the embodiment of the actions.
Right.
Your action of entering this holy shrine and the
yes,
result of or the result of good actions that person, that holy person did
okay,
in his life or
okay,
even his afterlife.
And is it possible, Shaykh Rouhani, to see the tamassul and the tajassum of your amal in this world? I mean, if you reach such high perfection, spiritually speaking, is it possible to see the very nature of your actions by your eyes?
Yeah, it is not something impossible, you know, rationally.
As the Aimmas, for example, did, Imam al-Hussein, for example, showed the true face and the destiny of the people and their actions.
It is mentioned that in Imam al-Sadiq, once some of his companions was very much happy and proud of being seeing a lot of Hujjaj in Hajj, in the time of the Hajj pilgrimage. So he told Imam al-Sadiq that, look, Ibn Rasulullah, there are numberless pilgrims gathered this year, and it is very, we can say, happy kind of event. Then Imam al-Sadiq told him that, please look at these pilgrims from between my two fingers.
Wow.
And then when he looked at the people, he saw different things, just few people among them.
The true face of the people, right, okay.
And also we have a narration from one of the companions of the Holy Prophet wasallam, that one day one of the companions of the Prophet came to the Prophet and told the Prophet that, O Prophet, would you please let me to tell you that among these companions around you, I know that which one is in the fire right now and which one is in the heaven.
Okay.
Can you let me please to tell about these companions? And the Prophet says that you are not allowed to reveal the secrets.
All right.
Hey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed you something you are not allowed to see, to reveal those secrets.
Okay.
It is possible, but of course, it needs that.
Lots of training and perfection.
Level of perfection, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Shaykh Rouhani and Brother Alavyan, for a nice elaboration regarding Tajassum al-A'mal. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. Please, for more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fiamal.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Pro-Palestine and pro-Lebanon protests swept across Yemen after Friday prayers, with demonstrators reigniting support for the armed resistance against the Israeli regime in Gaza and Lebanon. The protesters celebrated the appointment of Sayyid Naeem Qasem as Hezbollah's new secretary general, expressing hope that he will lead the Islamic resistance group in Lebanon towards its goal.
We came out today across the country in solidarity with the Axis of Resistance and the appointment of Hezbollah's Deputy Secretary General, Sayyid Naeem Qasem. We say to him, carry forward the banner of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. We will support you, and you can always count on us.
We congratulate Hezbollah on the appointment of Sayyid Naeem Qasem as the new leader. We are confident he will carry forward the same message and the same method as Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah.
Protesters also expressed a willingness to cross borders and engage in direct combat with Israeli forces. For now, however, Yemen's drones and missiles, including hypersonic missiles, are capable of reaching Tel Aviv in less than 12 minutes.
By Allah, we are very eager to meet the Zionists directly on the battlefield. We are also eager to escalate our military operations against them. Their attacks only make us stronger and more determined.
The Yemeni attacks are calculated to denigrate Israel's economic stability and diminish its regional influence. As the conflict escalates, Yemen's forces continue to employ advanced military capabilities, challenging Israel and the West.
Another Friday of pro-Palestinian protests took place across the country after a series of military operations by Yemen's armed forces against Israeli interests across the region. The leader of Ansarullah says that the U.S. is unable to stop
Yemen's military operations in the Red Sea, no one can. Yusuf Mawri, Sana'a.
On Parliament Square, pro-Palestine activists hoisting the Palestinian flag and a banner that says it all.
Gaza must have food and water. The bombs must stop. We must stop arming Israel. They've got no right to do what they're doing. It's inhuman.
Days earlier, members of the Women Rising Coalition lined over 700 baby vests on Parliament Square in a powerful tribute to Gaza's thousands murdered infants. While the members of the parliament may look the other way, members of the public boldly manifest their solidarity.
Well, they have been protesting here every day across from the British Parliament for more than a week now. Their aim, as ever, they say, is to make the politicians inside confront the reality of their continued support for Israel.
In September, the new Labour government suspended a fraction of its arms sales to Israel, a move described by campaigners as an admission of guilt and a half-hearted gesture that will do nothing to end Israel's war crimes in Gaza.
This is aiding and abetting the war crimes, and history will tell that. They will be tried at the end of their at the end of serving, because it's just so obvious what's happening.
Stop funding war crimes.
The five independent MPs in Parliament are echoing the demand being made here and by two-thirds of Britons. How long will the government that promised change be able to resist those calls? Saeed Purza, London.
Rights groups, unions, civil society organisations and members of the public have gathered at Belfast City Hall to highlight the urgent need for Northern Ireland to establish hate crime legislation, as it is the only region in the UK without such measures.
There are families across the city and across Northern Ireland who are living in fear right now because of racist attacks, because simply they have become targets because of their skin colour, their nationality, their religion, their immigration status.
Muslim organisations and pro-Palestinian groups participated in the protest to support calls for accountability given the West's role in regional conflicts, including Israel's ongoing atrocities.
Well, we need to push UK government and America, because these are the two governments who are supporting the Zionist regime and give them the weapon and the political cover. So we need to challenge them. We need to stop that.
There is a demand for stronger protection for minority communities in Northern Ireland, with calls on politicians and police authorities to take action. The region has a growing Muslim population, partly due to wars elsewhere. Campaigners are demanding that more police are recruited in Northern Ireland to better protect those being targeted by far-right thugs. Businesses run by Syrians and Africans have been repeatedly attacked here in Northern Ireland. They come from countries that the West helped to destabilise. And so critics say foreign interference continues to fuel xenophobia, both here in the UK and in the EU. Jerome Hughes, Belfast.
I'm Jeremy Lofredo for The Grey Zone in Israel, where last...
Jeremy Lofredo is an investigative journalist with The Grey Zone website who was arbitrarily detained days after his video exposed damage incurred by Iran's operation to Israeli military facilities, including Nevatim Air Base in the Negev Desert.
I drove 70 miles south to the highly sensitive Air Force installation, aiming to document the underreported and potentially embarrassing destruction.
Lofredo also traveled to Tel Aviv for his reporting, described what he saw in the streets near the Israel spy agency Mossad's headquarters after it was hit by Iranian ballistic missiles.
Using visual clues from footage circulating online, I set out to locate where the missile may have landed. I saw a heavily damaged SUV, its windshield shattered, debris and concrete caked into the vehicle. Further down, the scene unfolded. Destroyed vehicles, torn up asphalt, and a massive crater, roughly 30 feet wide, recently filled in with dirt. This information is missing from all Israeli media reports due to the fact it's been officially censored.
Lofredo says the charges against him included providing information to the enemy during wartime, which, if convicted, carries a minimum 25-year prison sentence and a maximum death sentence. He explained how he was detained and treated in the Israeli captivity.
On the afternoon of October the 8th, just days after my report on the Iranian missile strike was published, I was stopped outside a military checkpoint near Nablus in the northern West Bank. They tightly wrapped a cloth around my head as a blindfold, shackled my legs, handcuffed my wrists, and walked me into the back of a military truck. In custody, I was treated not like a journalist but as an enemy, a distinction that, for Israel, seemed irrelevant. I was held in solitary confinement, deprived of adequate food and water.
In Lofredo's idea, the courage threshold for investigative journalists in the occupied Palestinian territories has risen to an extreme level, and reporting truth means being willing to risk imprisonment or death. However, Lofredo says restrictions have proven ineffective in containing certain information, as Israelis can still access foreign publications. He says Israel has escalated its high-handed tactics, relying on threats of violence, incarceration, and even death to maintain its censorship regime. On October 20th, Lofredo, after spending days in solitary confinement, was informally deported to the U.S. Formal deportation would have required convicting him on terror charges. The journalist's case is still open in what it seems as a deterrent to ensure if he returned, Lofredo would face detention again. But Lofredo says he will continue reporting on Palestine from outside the occupied territories.
South Africa's own experience in confronting a violent oppressor shows that the people are the backbone of any resistance. Veteran anti-apartheid military commander and former intelligence minister Ronnie Castrels says he personally communicated this message to Palestinian resistance leaders in Syria and the Gaza Strip. Commemorating the martyrdom of Hamas resistance movement leaders Ismail Haniyeh and Yahya Sinwar and Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah, Castrels and other figures reflected on the way forward to hold Israel to account.
The people in struggle is your power. The armed struggle reinforces the overall struggle. The underground network assists the resistance. We've seen this. And then number four is international solidarity. Very powerful.
So despite the assassination of senior leaders of the resistance, which was also witnessed during the South African freedom struggle, where exiled activists were assassinated through letter bombs, the resistance will go on.
Martyrdom in itself and the loss of our leaders, it's plays such a pivotal role. So even if you're a person of no faith, but when your leader is killed in a most brutal fashion, assassinated, you actually take courage from that, and in fact, it speeds the downfall of the tyrant.
While South Africa has been commended for charging Israel with genocide at the International Court of Justice, people have urged it to take more decisive actions, such as through sanctions. Those who masterminded South Africa's struggle against apartheid say the government has so far failed to properly address the issue.
When South Africa takes action, the world really takes note. And the moral voice and strength of South Africa.
Despite the political maneuvers on the front lines, the message hasn't changed. Recent weeks have witnessed a surge of intense and deadly anti-Israeli operations, proving that the assassination of top leaders such as Said Hassan Nasrallah, Yahya Sinwar and Ismail Haniyeh will not diminish the strength of the resistance. Rather, these Israeli crimes will only intensify the determination of the resistance to deal even heavier blows on the occupying regime. Hassan Siriyab, Cape Town.
Immigration is a top issue in next week's election in the United States, as the Border Patrol has documented nearly 11 million encounters during the administration of Joe Biden, as compared with just over 3 million during the era of Donald Trump. That's caused major changes and even crises in many small towns and big cities in the U.S., and a worsening of the refugee crisis in Latin America. The seven Latin American countries which have lost the greatest percentage of their population to the U.S. Nicaragua, Cuba, Honduras, Haiti, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Venezuela have all been recent victims of American-led coups and sanctions.
I mean, the main thing I always say about Latin America, about the Middle East, about all these areas, if you don't want refugees coming into your nation, don't destabilize these nations. Don't go around bombing these nations. Don't go around supporting fascist leaders in these nations or leaders that don't listen to the people.
What's more, the Biden administration has expanded welcome efforts targeting immigrants from leftist-inspired countries like Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba.
Cubans they can just put one foot in the United States and they're automatically Americans. They get all kinds of benefits. They get housing and things. They get shipped to South Florida. They want to create turmoil in Venezuela, Cuba, Nicaragua. They want to have it as difficult as people can to survive. I mean, why can't Cubans send money, remittances back to Cuba? That's just inhuman.
The recent increase follows basic capitalist economics. In a period of record price increases, a mass influx of workers representing new labor competition will cause the existing workforce to reduce their demands for higher wages to keep up with the price increases. Promoting a key plank of fascist ideology, Trump has promised the largest mass deportation scheme in U.S. history, even as it seems like empty campaign bluster.
Mass deportation would encounter bureaucratic opposition at every level of government and massive resistance at the street level. The army is legally barred from participating in domestic law enforcement, and even a Republican sweep of Congress might have trouble in changing that 150-year-old law.
I think it would be horrible, and I think that it wouldn't be just undocumented immigrants who would be deported. I think that a lot of brown-skinned people would be swept up, and I think it would create a real racist hysteria in the country. Hopefully, other people would rise up and protest and help defend them, because it would be just a real travesty.
From the number of new courts to the number of new lawyers to the number of new police dedicated to immigration, deporting even a million undocumented immigrants a year would require an unprecedented financial and bureaucratic expansion of the state, which is something the typical Republican totally opposes. Ramin Mazahari, Washington, D.C.
The Yemeni army has escalated its military actions against the Israeli regime, hitting targets from both land and sea. In recent operations, three Israeli-linked ships attempting to cross the strategic Bab el-Mandeb Strait were attacked at sea by various Yemeni armament. Less than 16 hours later, Yemeni armed forces launched three drones striking targets in the industrial zone of Ashkelon in southern occupied Palestine.
No doubt the continuous military operations against Israel at sea and the missile attack inside Israel are an indication we are in a critical phase where the army is trying to side and is starving the people in Gaza.
These recent attacks come as Israel suffers heavy losses in southern Lebanon and Gaza at the hands of resistance fighters. To add to the resistance military power, Yemen's navy also unveiled a new torpedo designed to devastate Israeli ships. The torpedo is engineered to deliver devastating damage to the lower hull of vessels, posing a serious threat to Israel's maritime assets.
The torpedoes are a more powerful weapon, which means any vessel hit by these torpedoes will surely sink. This is indeed a show of strength. It is also an indication of our naval military advancement that is ready to discipline the U.S. or any nation attempting to violate the Yemeni sovereignty.
Although Yemen's geographic location prevents its forces from directly engaging Israel, the Yemeni army has strategically leveraged its position to weaken Israel militarily and economically from afar.
The Yemeni army has stepped up its attacks against Israeli targets by launching more missiles and drones. These military operations are taking a toll against the Israeli regime and its economy as they call on the U.S. to help address those losses. Yusuf Mawri, Sana'a.
The Islamic Movement and Jordanian activists organize a pro-Palestinian march under the banner Save Resilient Jabalia in Amman. They expressed the strong support for Palestinians in northern Gaza, particularly in Jabalia. Participants condemned the severe humanitarian conditions there, citing continuous attacks, starvation tactics, and a total blockade on food and medical supplies.
Mass atrocities continue in Jabalia for the 24th consecutive day. The occupying forces appear intent on forced displacement, which, if unchallenged, could also include Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. We must firmly reject all forms of forced displacement.
We gather here today to support Gaza, acknowledging that no action we take, whether now, in the future, or even in the past, can be compared to the sacrifices made by the Palestinians there. We hope for a swift end to the war. May God have mercy on all the martyrs.
Participants criticized the international community's inaction in the face of Israeli crimes, expressing solidarity with displaced people in Jabalia refugee camp, who are now under siege. They also reaffirmed their commitment to supporting the resistance against the Israeli occupation.
Today we stand together to boost the spirit of our brothers in Gaza, who are making sacrifices for a noble cause. I want to emphasize that even if the leaders of the resistance are martyred, many will rise to take their place.
We are here to support our brothers in Jabalia, Gaza, and Palestine as they resist the aggressors. We ask God to grant them strength and success in their struggle.
Israel continues to displace Palestinians amid its ongoing military campaign in northern Gaza, applying deadly measures against approximately 400,000 individuals in the region, while enforcing a strict blockade that prevents the entry of food and medical supplies.
The Islamic movement in Jordan has called for the complete lifting of the Israeli blockade on the Gaza Strip and demanded Amman sever its ties with the Tel Aviv regime. Zaid Agarbe, Amman.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
China and Latin America share a history of resisting colonialism and exploitation by foreign powers and are now aligned in promoting a multipolar world order. The rhetoric of a new Cold War driven by neo-filibusters along the revival of the Monroe Doctrine stands in direct opposition to Latin America's aspirations for sovereignty and cooperative development. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Global Times wrote, right after Brazilian agriculture minister proposed that Brazil should join the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, to counter protectionist measures from the U.S. and EU, U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai responded, saying Brazil should consider the risks of joining the BRI before making any final decision. Tai's rhetoric and anxiety are hardly new. During the Aspen Security Forum in July, U.S. General Laura Richardson, the commander of the United States Southern Command, responsible for overseeing operations across Latin America and the Caribbean, criticized the growing collaboration between China and the region. She suggested that a new Marshall Plan for Latin America could serve as a countermeasure to initiatives such as the BRI. In August, Richardson told attendees at the South American Defense Conference, In Santiago, Chile, that South deck is a call for action. Full team democracy to work overtime together to confront unfolding threats in the region. These statesmen are part of a broader U.S. strategy to revive Cold War-era rhetoric under the guise of a new Cold War, echoing the principles of the Monroe Doctrine and aligning with U.S. efforts to curb China's growing influence. Unsurprisingly, this rhetoric has intensified alongside the strengthening of relations between China and Latin America. Globally, the hardening of the U.S. stance toward China has become increasingly evident. Successive U.S. administrations have taken progressively tougher measures, from the trade war to initiatives like Quad and AUKUS, all aimed at increasing diplomatic, economic, and military pressure on China. In Latin America, this strategy has materialized through frequent remarks by high-ranking U.S. officials questioning the intentions behind China's cooperation projects, often accompanied by accusations of Chinese imperialism or neocolonialism in the region and invoking myths such as the debt trap. These efforts have specifically targeted China's involvement in Panama Canal and various infrastructure projects across the region, culminating in U.S. diplomatic attempts to block the adoption of Huawei's 5G technology in Latin American telecommunications networks. Despite U.S. efforts, Latin American governments and their citizens appear increasingly indifferent to such appeals, choosing instead to strengthen ties with China, South America's largest trading partner and the second largest for Latin America overall. With more than 20 Latin American and Caribbean countries already part of the BRI, Colombia recently announced its intention to join, while Brazil has expressed serious interest in doing the same. Chinese investments, particularly in renewable energy and infrastructure, continue to grow, significantly boosting local economic development. It is ironic that accusations of China's alleged predatory interest in Latin America come from Washington, which for decades has treated the region as its backyard, routinely intervening to protect its own interests. Given this historical context, it is even more striking that General Richardson has proposed the new Marshall Plan for the region as a means of countering Chinese influence. After all, the application of the Marshall Plan in Cold War-era Europe was directly tied to intervention in domestic affairs. In the 2000s, Latin America's economic recovery was closely tied to its growing synergy with China, which became an indispensable trading partner following its accession to the WTO. Over time, this partnership expanded beyond trade, fostering deeper cooperation through mechanisms such as the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States China Forum. The mass participation of Latin American and Caribbean countries in the BRI underscores this growing relationship. With investments in infrastructure and renewable energy projects further strengthening these ties. As a result, statesmen from U.S. officials are unlikely to resonate with Latin American countries. Their claims lack credibility when contrasted with the tangible cooperation between China and Latin America and do not reflect the U.S. own record in the region. China-Latin American ties have been built on mutual respect and non-interference, extending beyond trade to include investments, technology, as well as cultural and educational exchanges. China and Latin America share a history of resisting colonialism and exploitation by foreign powers and are now aligned in promoting a multipolar world order. The rhetoric of a new Cold War driven by neo-filibusters alongside the revival of the Monroe Doctrine stands in direct opposition to Latin America's aspirations for sovereignty and cooperative development.
This is
For a Better Life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم to all of you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of For a Better Life. This is Nahid, having the honor of hosting you on another episode. Well, let's go directly to one piece of the masterpiece written by Saadi in Bustan and see what we are going to discuss today. The topic is a discourse concerning hypocrisy. Who knows that thou art not pledged to God, even though stance in prayer without ablution? That prayer is the key to hell, which thou performest only before the eyes of men. If the high road of thy life lead to aught but God, thy prayer mat will be thrown into the fire. He whose heart is good and makes no outward show of piety is better than one of outward sanctity whose heart is false. A night prowling robber is better than a sinner in the tonic of a saint. Expect not wages from Umar, O son, when thou workest in the house of Zaid. If in private I am bad and mean, of what avail is it to pose before the world with honor? How much will the bag of hypocrisy weigh in the scales of justice? The outside of the hypocrisy's coat is neater than the lining, for the one is seen and the other is hidden. Well, as you could see the keyword mentioned in Saadi's masterpiece, we are going to talk about hypocrisy, mentioned as nifaq in Arabic, which is the contrivance of a false appearance of virtue or goodness, while concealing real character traits or inclinations, especially with respect to religion and moral beliefs. Hence, in a general sense, hypocrisy may involve pretense or shame. And actually, mentioning a religion, it is called as a disease, like the thing that makes our hearts go sick. Hypocrisy is the practice of engaging in the same behavior or activity for which one criticizes the others. In moral psychology, it is the failure to follow one's own expressed moral rules and principles. Now, let's listen to today's episode and get to know if we have ever had the urge for this disease, which, by the way, can be threatening our lives every now and then. One of the forms of nifaq, double-facedness or double-tonguedness, is a nifaq with the Almighty Allah, the bestower and the nourisher, with which a person can be inflected in this world but is not aware of it. He claims to have faith in the unity of God throughout his life, professing to be Muslim and true believer, and even making ardent claims of his love. However, his inner nature doesn't comply with his appearance and his utterance. Nifaq can be in relation to the religion of God, sometimes with respect to virtues, sometimes in regard to righteous deeds and holy rites, and sometimes in ordinary matters of day-to-day life and common activities. Like, it is very simple as a child tries to do the good things in front of the parents' eyes in order to catch their attention. We also do these activities sometimes to get the attention of the creator or the other people. I wish it was just for the creator, but of course, sometimes we forget and we just want the attention of the other people for the sake of our life. Also, sometimes one may act with nifaq with respect to the prophet or the imams, and sometimes with regards to the friends of God, the creations, and the scholars and believers. Like, we do have it all around us. That's why I'm saying it is something that may be threatening our lives. Sometimes one may behave with nifaq with Muslims and sometimes with God's creatures belonging to other communities and creeds. Nifaq can show itself in different forms pertaining to the status of the person having this deadly disease. For a layman, it can be seen in boasting of faith in Islam, sincerity of faith and piety. For scholars and jurisprudents, pretending the highest degree of sincerity and putting forth claims to be the best person and also following the prophets. For the scholars of philosophy and rational science, claiming to possess true faith and knowledge based on deductive proofs. So we do have the signs and the devastating effects of nifaq around us, giving oneself right to harass and hurt subordinates and never hesitate to cause them inconveniences. They are the signs that we need to open our eyes to and try to understand that if I am really stating that I'm a true Muslim, deep down I should stay the eager and enthusiast who is following the teachings of the Islam, of the religion.
Your mercy, your love is all I need. All I need, all I need, all I need.
As a Muslim, yeah, I understood the hypocrisy and the fact that I have to be far from those signs and symptoms. But what if I really do have this urge and now I want the treatment? So what should I do and how can it be solved? If a person is afflicted with this ugly disease, first of all, we should think about the harms that it may cause in our personality and the features that we do have. A person with nifaq will ultimately fail to achieve any merits and to reach his higher goals. As we have it mentioned in Quran as well, that the people who are following the way of hypocrisy are never going to understand what they want and what the true destination for them is going to be. In the hereafter, where secrets that remained concealed from the eyes of people shall not be hidden there. He will be raised as a deformed, ugly creature possessing two tongues of fire and punished along with the hypocrisy, evils, and the devil himself. Therefore, it is important for a man of wisdom who sees no good in it but harms. We are supposed to open our eyes and see the ugliness and the fact that we need to get rid of this urgent need in ourselves. If one preserves in the exercise of stopping themselves from hypocrisy, from not trying to have the double-facedness, for several days or even years, our soul will become purified and the rust of hypocrisy and double-facedness will be removed from it. The mirror of our heart and the inner being will be cleansed of this vice, and it will be ready again to receive the favors and blessings of the bestower, the creator, because at the same time when we are trying to follow the way of hypocrisy, our creator, for sure we have it, like he promised in Quran that he is not after the people who are having double faces, like people who claim to follow the way of truth and the creator, but at the same time they are not following the orders deep down. They are being neglectful towards the really powerful God. The first cause of their downfall of the fact that they are not going to be having a safe and secure situation in heaven is nothing but the fact that they are neglectful toward the Creator. And with this state of mind, asserting faith in the unity of God is nothing but just the slogans that they claim to have, but in their heart they are not going to believe in them. Things that are said, but looking at their actions, nothing can be said. So the story of Sa'di was also mentioning the same notes, that if a person is just trying to hide, the last line, if you remember, the outside of the hypocrisy's coat is neater than the lining, for the one is seen and the other is hidden. Relating it to the fact that in the hereafter, people are going to be judged with the concealed part of the personality with the thing that they tried and did their best to hide from the rest of the people. When looking at the future, looking at the destination, we are not going to be hiding anything, neither from the Creator nor from the creations, like from people around us. So what better than solving this problem, this disease in our minds, and try to go for the way of the Almighty Creator and try to understand that hypocrisy is a disease threatening our lives, of course, around us, but it is not something that we cannot get along with. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied?
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Nationwide rallies are underway in Iran to condemn oppressive U.S. policies across the globe as Iranians mark the National Day of Fight Against Global Arrogance. Hezbollah strikes major Israeli military intelligence units based near Tel Aviv as its retaliatory operations continue deep inside occupied territories. Meanwhile, Israeli forces killed more than 40 Palestinians in Gaza's Nusayra camp within 48 hours, raising the genocidal war's death toll to over 43,300 since October last year. Hello everyone, a very warm welcome to World News. Our top story, cities throughout Iran are witnessing rallies to mark the anniversary of the 1979 U.S. Embassy takeover in Tehran, also known as the National Day of the Fight Against Global Arrogance. Every year, Iranians take to the streets on this day to show anger at U.S. hostility toward their country over the past decades. The capital Tehran protesters gather outside a building that used to be the U.S. Embassy, known as the Den of Espionage in Iran. On the 4th of November, 1979, university students seized the embassy, which had become a center of espionage following the victory of the Islamic Revolution. The students later published documents proving compound was indeed engaged in plans and measures to overthrow the Islamic establishment. And now joining us is Mariam Azarchar, our colleague, for more on this anniversary, on all the nationwide rallies in commemoration of it. Hello, Mariam. The significance of this very day for Iranians, what does it represent? What is it all about? And what does it address?
Well, thank you so much. Now, as you know, basically what happened in Iran
over four decades ago was that following the Islamic Revolution, Iranian students found out that the U.S. regime was using its embassy as a den of espionage. That basically, they were trying to plan and attempt coups. They were basically funding and planning for all kinds of movements against the People's Revolution. And what the Iranian students did, they went and took over the American embassy. That is, you know, I mean, it has so many different aspects to this, because it was actually really interesting, because the way they did it, they went and did it by themselves, and then they also asked Imam Khomeini. They said, "Okay, this is what we're doing, and this is what we're planning." And of course, Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic, approved of it. Even though it was, I mean, when you look at it, you know, a lot of people have talked about it over the years,